Hello, welcome to Diva of Days of Our Lives. Let me give you a little info about Wally Kurth. He is known in the soap world as Justin Kiriakis from Days of Our Lives, Ned Ashton from General Hospital, and Sam Hutchins from As the World Turns. He's also known in the music world as part of the band Kurth and Taylor. Kurth and Taylor became very popular in General Hospital under the fictional name Eddie Main and the Idle Rich. Since then, they have recorded multiple albums, won a Daytime Emmy Award in 2002 for the outstanding original song, Barefoot Ballet, and have raised over $400,000 for different charities with a focus on sick children. After a five-year hiatus, Wally and his band partner, Christian Taylor, decided to get the band back together again by releasing a greatest hit CD, including two new songs as well as two new music videos. Kurth and Taylor will be having a reunion show concert on Sunday, June 6th, at Hermosa Beach in California. Also, there will be another Kurth and Taylor concert coming up on June 26th in Fort Wayne, Indiana, as part of the Sweetwater Sound Gear Fest. Check out www.kurthandtaylor.com for more details.
Oh, okay.
Wally.
Hello?
Hi, it's Wally.
Hi, Wally. We were getting a little nervous, but you're here now.
Well, you should have. I just got back with my son. We went for an ice cream cone, and I actually forgot. I was telling my wife yesterday, 2:30 to 3:30, I've got a conference call on the car side. I completely forgot. But here I am. Thank God it was on my
email. You're here. It doesn't matter now.
I looked at my email, and it's... On email,
on
is everything
second.
Okay with calling the guest number? I'm like, oh, no, I forgot. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Well, you're here now, and
yeah.
That's the important thing. Even we have had our mistakes, our very first show. We had Leanne Hunley, who plays Anna Demiris, our guest, and we didn't realize that she couldn't get on to our switchboard because it was full of callers, and she was trying to call in repeatedly, and we couldn't, and finally we figured out what was going on, and as she said when I apologized humbly for what happened, that, you know, hey, it's over now, let's move on, so.
Yeah.
Well, I've already done, you talked a little bit about Kurth and Taylor. What kind of an experience can the fans expect to get at this upcoming reunion concert?
Well, we'll be playing probably about an hour's worth of songs, and a lot of the songs we played on General Hospital. Some were, I don't know if all of them were ever played, but it's kind of like a nice combination of oldies and new ones. Two of the new songs you could actually see on our, if you go to our website, you can see these new songs that actually Christian wrote. They're sort of like what does he call it? The soundtrack to our midlife crisis. They're very fun and very funny, and it's like Christian. We laugh about it because, especially, we played over 50 times on General Hospital, the band, you know, in all these different musical situations. But we've never, as a band, ever made a music video, even though we're probably the one band that probably should be making music videos, having been on TV as much as we were. So, but we did finally get these two music videos, and so those two new songs, Tread on the Tires and Let's Get the Band Back Together, will be played, and it's a great venue. I've never played there before. It's down in the South Bay, as they call it here, and in Los Angeles. And I live down here, and I have a lot of friends that I've met the last few years that don't know that I was even in a band. And they know that I'm in a band now because I've played them some music and so forth. But so they'll be there, and they'll get a kick out of seeing the band for the first time, and all the fans from GH, and hopefully some new fans from Days. We'll hear some new good music. And if you go to our website, you can hear all the stuff and get an idea of what kind of music we play. I would describe it as sort of like heartland rock, sort of country rock. That's it. Kurth and Taylor, we've been together for 17 years. We started out as an acoustic duo. We used to play coffee houses here in town. And we've expanded to a five-piece electric band, really. Christian plays the electric rhythm guitar. We have a lead guitar player that used to play in Christian's old band, and the bass and drums actually was in Christian's band way back when they were in high school. So it's and in fact, what's going to be fun about the concert at St. Rock is that the song that we wrote called "Let's Get the Band Back Together" brought together Jim and Lee, who really have not been playing with us these last few years, because Lee actually goes out with Eddie Money now, and Jim plays drums for Sarah Evans. So we don't really see them very often when we were playing around the country a few years ago. But they are going to join us after many years, probably 7 or 8 years. So that'll be fun to see some old bandmates. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, for a long time, you guys were playing on General Hospital under the name of Eddie Main and the Idle Rich.
Yeah.
Did you ask General Hospital to have your band on, or was it their idea? Or
you know what? It was their idea. It was definitely their idea, and we just sort of said, "Hey, you know." I can't remember if Claire Levine, I think, saw. She was one of the producers on the show, Shelley Curtis, knew me from Days of Our Lives. She was a producer on Days of Our Lives, and she knew that I played the guitar and that I was a singer because she had me play so often on Days. So when she joined the show, she said, well, you got to have Wally sing. You should do a fantasy or something. So they had me do a Bruce Springsteen fantasy. And so that's all Claire needed to see. And she said, oh, my God, we gotta do something here. And so she came up with this whole, you know, double life, you know, with the CEO by day and a rock star by night, and then created Lois and all that good, fun stuff that the audience loved. And that was a pretty good run. We must have played for 4 or 5 years.
Uh-huh.
And for a couple of years, it was really intense, and then it kind of lightened up.
Uh-huh.
But, yeah, no, it was really fun, really, really fun.
Uh-huh. Well, I was just sort of interested in wanting to know your take on this. Earlier this month, we had Gloria Loring on as a guest on our show, and she had played Liz on Days of Our Lives in around the early to mid-80s, and she had recorded the number one hit single, Friends and Lovers, and she was telling us how much trouble she had getting that music out there, you know, on a record, because she had such a stigma against her as being an actress in soap opera. Have you found being an actor in the soaps to be a stumbling block, or has it actually helped in terms of your band?
Well, it's a double-edged sword, because the one thing you get is exposure, but one thing you don't get is legitimacy. You do, it is absolutely a stigma. And look at them. She sang a duet with a legitimate singer. So she had, you know, which I do, at least I have, you know, I have Christian, who's a legitimate just musician, so that's not a strike against me. I probably bring him down. But he likes the fact that we get exposure. So I bring exposure. He brings some legitimacy just because he's not an actor. But you're right. It's funny because the other way, musicians can be taken seriously as actors, but not vice versa, which is kind of, in my opinion, somewhat unfair.
I think it's very unfair, very messed up. It's like, you know, if you're a good singer, you're a good singer. Who cares, you know, whether you're on a soap opera or not?
Yeah, yeah, but no, she's right. And that was a number one song. Can you believe that? I mean, it's like, it was people, obviously she proved that people really loved it, loved hearing it, and they sang the heck out of it. It was a beautiful song.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, isn't that amazing? And that's just kind of how it is. So that's the double-edged sword that we dealt with. And, you know, so there was, and certain people in the industry, they loved it because, like, wow, they have this built-in audience that's already seen our music, seen us, they've heard our music, you got a built-in fan following. So they see, you know, the commercial potential, but yet, you know, radio doesn't really pick it up. And, you know, I mean, not everybody who watches the show is going to go out and buy an album. So, you know, it's still a hard grind. It's still a hard sell, you know, no matter what.
Well, you know, I find it interesting because all the time I'm reading in, you know, Entertainment Weekly and stuff about how the music industry is having so much trouble with the internet and technology, the way things have changed, where you're not selling CDs anymore, but there's iTunes and MP3 and all this way everything has become fragmented. But it seems like, from what I read on your website, that in a way technology helped you guys when it came to making your new music videos.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no, it's, it was, Christian, like I said, just did a great job, and he was able to really edit the entire thing in his home, and if anybody who sees it will just be blown out, because they'll think, wow, how long, I mean, it did take him a long time, but you know, he's really got some experience doing this, because now he kind of does this on the side. That's sort of his bread and butter now. And but it's just you know, you don't need to go into a studio and you know, hire somebody to do it, which would have cost thousands and thousands of dollars. I'm blessed to have a really talented partner who can write songs, produce the songs, and then, you know, go in and edit the video, you know, edit the music video. So, it's really terrific. In fact, one of the exciting things that's happening to Kurt and Taylor is Sweetwater Music. It's the largest online retail music and music gear outlet in America. Was sent a copy of Let's Get the Band Back Together, and in it, we did a little product placement. We had us, as we were singing the song, there's a line in the song that says, "Reliving our youth with brand new toys." And while we're singing that, while I'm singing that, we're looking at Sweetwater Music catalogs. They sell about $130 million worth of music equipment per year. And they just thought it was so clever that, you know, here we are, we're singing about the fact that, you know, we got a dead-end job, we're going through this midlife crisis, but instead of, you know, the expensive Harleys and Porsches that we yearn for, let's just buy some new music equipment and get the band back together. So that's sort of the gist of the song, and they just thought it was the greatest thing. So they put us in their April promotion on their homepage, on their website. We've already gotten like 12,000 hits, and you have to you enter a contest. You have to watch the video and answer a few questions, and then you're automatically entered in a contest. And whoever wins gets $5,000 worth of music equipment.
Uh-huh.
So it's just, that was just him cleverly putting in this product placement and putting in Sweetwater catalog. And they went, wow, let's use that for our own promotion. And let's get people to, you know, watch the video. And, you know, and obviously they're going to learn about Kurt and Taylor. And it's all music people, you know.
Uh-huh.
The first time we've ever really had any mass exposure that wasn't through soaps. So
uh-huh.
It's pretty neat for a band. I'm really excited for Christian to have all these music people and gearheads, as they call them, see what he did, you know.
Uh-huh.
And then they interviewed him and talked to him about how he did it and everything. So he's got a lot of love. He's been getting a lot of love lately, so that's good.
Yeah. Well, I noticed at the end of your video that it also said something about a do-it-yourself workshop. Is that what you guys are going to be doing? Or?
Yeah, that's right. At Sweetwater, the Gear Fest in Fort Wayne, Indiana in June, we're going to be playing some songs and then discussing, you know, how we recorded this and that. And it's funny, when we record, you know, Christian will lay down the tracks in Nashville, and then he claims that the only thing it cost him was $300 to record the songs, and that was his airplane ticket to get to Los Angeles, where he recorded my vocals. And then the lead guitar player drove down from Santa Cruz, and he laid his guitar tracks, and then he went back to Nashville. He sent just a basic rhythm track to the drummer. The drummer put the drums down at his house. The bass player came over to Christian's house in Nashville, laid the bass down. And then they sent the tracks back up to Santa Cruz, and Pat redid his lead guitar. So you don't even need to be in the same room at the same time to record songs anymore.
Uh-huh.
And when you're all living in different towns, that's what it has to be. That's sort of how it goes.
Well, I just have to say, I love both of the videos, but it's funny because, it's watching the soap opera and watching you play Justin all the time. You're always, you know, Justin seems to always be, you know, pretty serious most of the time, charming but serious. But in
yeah.
the video, you're really funny. I mean, the whole video is really funny.
Oh,
great
yeah.
sound, great music, but also a real, you know, sense of humor about what it's like to, well, get middle-aged and, you know,
right.
still follow
yeah.
your passion and dreams, you know.
I
really like sort of the message that both Tread on the Tires and Let's Get the Band Back Together Again have. Also, last year, you had the new CD of your greatest hits, with a question mark, greatest hits, 1993 to 2010. You said you chose those videos through, asking the fans what they wanted, or?
Yeah, we did we just sent out sort of a mass email to our loyal fans that have been following us through the years, going to our concerts around the country, and we just took a poll and asked them, give us your top 15 songs, and so then we just compiled all the data and figured out that this is what it was, and just gave them what they wanted. There's your top. There's your greatest hits. Of course, we had to put a question mark at behind it because we don't really. There wasn't any hits on the radio, so.
Wow.
This is,
but you won an Emmy for Barefoot Ballet, and that's not too shabby. So.
Yeah.
You did have the. You know, I would consider that definitely a great hit. Who actually writes the songs for the band? Do you and Christian write the songs together? Or?
Yeah, Christian. Well, let's see. A few of the songs that Christian and I wrote together. These two songs that Tread on the Tire and Let's Get the Band Back Together. Christian just wrote those on his own. There was also an album we did called Freedom, where we had a fantastic, talented lyricist named Debbie Cochran who did the lyrics. For all of that, and we still sing a lot of those songs from the Freedom albums. It's one of my favorite albums. She just did a terrific job. Unfortunately, we only had her for one album. I'd like to get her back and collaborate with us again because she just did great. And yeah, that's basically it. Just the three of us for all the songs. So it's all original music. And yeah.
Uh-huh. Like, did you always want to be a singer from a young age?
You know, I grew up in Montana, in Billings, Montana, and I was always singing. I love singing, and I was always just kind of making up songs and singing all the time. And then when I was in grade school, it's funny. There's a lot of people my age who tell the same story. There was an audition for a local production of Oliver, and you know, Oliver is a cast with all these young kids, these young boys. And so I got the part of the Artful Dodger. And, you know, you get a little taste of the, you know, you get the bug, as they say. And I thought, wow, this is pretty fun. Afterwards, you know, of course, I'm signing autographs and getting all this glory. And I was kind of a class clown anyway, someone who was desperate for attention. Maybe being the youngest of five, I was desperate for attention, even though my brothers would argue that I was a baby. And I got enough attention. I never thought I got enough attention. And so acting just seemed like, hey, this seems like fun, and I'll continue doing it. And it's funny because, you know, high school, joining choir is not the coolest thing, you know, a teenage boy can do. But my mother insisted. She made me take choir. And thank God, because it forced me to learn how to sing harmony. And this band that I'm in, even though I'm singing the melody line, you know, you really do have to be, you know, familiar with harmony and not be afraid of, you know, that. And it was great. It was great hanging out with a different set of people that I wouldn't have hung out with. And, you know, so taking choir in high school was really cool. And so I just always sang. And then when I started going to college, you know, I got into musicals. I always liked musicals. And I think just because of Oliver, you know, I was like, hey, this is my thing. And I did a Broadway musical. That was my first professional job was joining the national tour of Pirates of Penzance when I was at UCLA. I actually left school to join the national tour, and then I, during the course of the tour, I lucked out and was rewarded with two understudy roles, the role of the Pirate King and the Sergeant, which pissed off a lot of my fellow pirates. But I got two understudies, and, you know, it was sort of it's true. I didn't really need both. I could have just done with one, probably. But anyway, I got two. And I ended up playing the Sergeant and the Pirate King on the road. And then they moved me to the Broadway show at the very end when the tour ended. And I ended up playing the Pirate King the last 3 months of the Broadway, you know, tour, the Broadway production. And so it was really an amazing ride. And it was at age 23, I'd already sort of, you know, achieved one milestone in my career, and that was to be in a Broadway musical before I'd even... I thought it'd take a little longer than that, so I was able to sort of get that out of my way, and then the next was to try to get on television and end up getting a job that lasted a long time. All my jobs have lasted a long time. My first Days stint was 4 years, and then I went right over to GH for 14 years, and now I'm back on Days for, you know, I don't know how long, but I've been on here for 10 months, and I don't know how long it's going to last, but so far so good. I'm just happy to be working.
Uh-huh. Well, speaking of Days, real quick, I just wanted to ask, you know, last week, actually, we got to have an interview with your Days of Our Lives leading lady, Judy Evans.
Oh,
and,
great.
I'm going to ask you sort of the same thing I asked her. How was it when you guys, you know, your careers had been on separate paths for quite a while, and then you're reunited again on the show as, you know, Justin and Adrian. Were you able to just pick up right back in that acting groove again, or did it take a little readjusting? Or?
Well, you know, she probably described the fact that the schedule over there doesn't really allow for retakes. So whether you're ready or not, you're going. The tapes are rolling, and you get one shot. So it didn't take us long to get right back in it. And, you know, Judy, you know, we worked almost every day for 4 years. It was, you know, back in those days, you really, you know, they really worked the couples. And you know, they kind of spread it around now more, you know. You're not just in the same room, just working seven scenes in a row. And, but, you know, it didn't take, it was, you know, just like riding a bicycle, you know, a comfortable bicycle working with Judy. You know, I think we just always trusted one another. We never really, you know, neither one of us tried to control the scenes. We just sort of really just allowed the other to just shine and do their thing and be respectful and listen. You know, I think we just have a, you know, a natural chemistry when it comes to working. And hopefully there's a natural chemistry when it comes to our characters as well.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, another co-star who I think you really picked up that relationship again was with John Aniston. I just love the beginning scenes when you were first back on the show, the Victor Justin scenes, because there was a lot of humor to them, and you guys were just on your game, you know.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. And that is fun. It's been really, really fun being back in Days of Our Lives, I have to say. I never really planned on going back. I never imagined going back, really. And when I did imagine, I didn't think that it would ever be as rewarding and as fun as it is. I thought if I went back, it would be like, okay, you know, you got to do what you got to do. You know, it's a job. But it's been anything but a job. It's been a joy. Because John's there and Christian and Peter and, you know, and Crystal. It's like all the actors that I worked with before, you know.
Uh-huh.
And it's been really fun to just pick up where we left off, and it feels like I haven't even been gone, you know.
Uh-huh. Well, have you gotten a lot of fan reaction about, you know, Bo and Hope breaking up, and you're sort of there, you know, it's Justin there wanting Hope. Had you gotten much reaction about that? Or?
You know, I haven't, and the reaction that I have gotten has been pretty remarkably positive. And I know it can't all be positive. I mean, I'm part of I'm in between a super couple, and I understand that. But like Crystal said, you know, whatever, you know, story, it serves, whatever's interesting, entertaining story. And it certainly doesn't have anything to do with, I think for the most part, I think it's, you know, it's really the writers that have to be careful, you know, I mean, or are dealing with, you know, something very, very, you know, iconic, you know. For me, I've just sort of come in and, you know, I'm, like I said, I'm just happy to be working, you know, and so whoever they pair me with is okay by me. But I will just say that most of the people are like, yeah, we really love you working with Christian, but, you know, they're not, I don't know who they're rooting for, but they seem to be saying, hey, I want you guys to get together, so I don't know. But like I said, it's probably, I don't get the mail. I don't get the hate mail.
Oh, well, that's good.
I just get the positive stuff.
Uh-huh. Well, for me, it's like, hey, if you've got airtime, I'm happy, whether it's with, you know, Adrian or with Hope.
That's how I look at it. When I run into Dina Higley, I just say, I just need more Wally. I watch the show, and I'm like, I need more Wally. She laughs.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, you know, another actress on the show who I've been saying for some time that I think you have great chemistry with is Crystal Chappelle, because every time Justin and Carly are in the same scene together, it's just fire. I'd love to see something go along in that direction as well, you know.
I think so, too. Yeah, Crystal and I both said we'd love to do that. We'd love to work together, because we never really had that before.
Right.
That would be fun. That would be fun.
Uh-huh.
Absolutely.
Well, I'll just make a quick announcement to anyone listening in. If you want to call in, the call-in number is 1914 338-1239. For a while, my friend Marianne is on. Marianne, are you still here?
Yeah, I'm still here.
You want to ask Wally something?
Yeah. Well, yeah, first of all, I want to welcome to our show, Wally, and thank you for coming. It's a real treat.
Oh, thank you for inviting me. It's my pleasure.
Okay.
I'm glad I sat my butt down and looked at my email. Otherwise, it would have been a very, very, long hour cursing Wally Kurtz. Like, where in the hell is he?
Oh, you would have been forgiven.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, okay.
I'm a new guy in town.
The original. Yeah, okay, yeah. You're the original Dimples Kuriakis, so yeah. But anyway, yes, I've been a fan, like, since the 90s when Justin and Adrian got together. That was a great love story. And like I know Lori was saying about the chemistry between you two, and Justin needs to get a girl somehow. I don't know.
He's a little lonely.
Somehow. They need to pair him with somebody, whether it be Hope or whoever, but it has to be Adrian. That's who it has to finally be. But anyway, back to the band. I never knew you were in a band before, and Let's Get the Band Back Together has made me a big fan. I've even downloaded some of your songs on my iPod. So
great.
That's really great. Yeah, and I was just wondering, do you think there's any chance that somehow Justin or the band could get on Days somehow?
I don't know.
Suggest that?
Yeah, I actually did. Because we were at the Cheatin' Heart the other day, and of course, I don't know if you remember. Justin did play. Remember he played that song, Give Me Wings? I must have played it five or six times on the show.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I played my guitar. The band wasn't on there, but I played a song. I used to play the piano and sing a song, and I used to always sing to Adrian. And I mentioned it to Gary Tomlin, our executive producer, and he said, oh, yeah, you won't be singing on the show. I go, because I used to sing in here, and he goes, yeah, we just can't afford the music. And it's true. It's just all about music. It's just
I heard Nadia Bjorlund, she used to sing quite a bit on the show, and no more songs for her. They just can't afford sheet music or something.
Well, it's the licensing.
They
have it in their budget. Mm-hmm. And, they've just decided that, maybe once they eke out a little bit more money for their budget, if the numbers keep, if the viewership keeps going up like it has been, and maybe they can afford it. But right now, it's not part of the budget. But you know what? I played so much on General Hospital, and I'm okay. I'm okay not playing. And you know, it's funny because we have so little time. Like I was telling Laura that we really have. You get one take, and it's sometimes you need two takes. And it slows mm-hmm. down a little bit. I was doing As the World Turns a couple of years ago. And it was really kind of a difficult role because I played this ventriloquist. And so I had this dummy that I had to manipulate. He was definitely a crazed ventriloquist, a psychopathic, psychotic ventriloquist. But anyway, I had this dummy that I had to, manipulate. And it was hard knowing that you really only had one take. And they had a very, very quick schedule, too. But one day, he wanted me to sing. They asked me to sing. And it was not the perfect performance type situation. All I had was like something in my ear where I heard the track. There was no music on the floor, and I was having to like imitate playing electric guitar and sing to myself just this little music, and I was basically singing a cappella. It was the wildest, strangest performance situation I've ever had, and after that I was just like, if this is as good, if this is what I'm looking at in terms of the future, I'd rather not ever sing on TV again. It was just really difficult. So and that's kind of and with so limited time now, I just feel like it's probably not going to happen. So, but thanks for asking.
Well, I have there's a question on in our chat room. Just yesterday, there were a whole lot of photos that Allison Sweeney put up from the 45th anniversary for the I guess it was some sort of press event. Could you tell
yes.
us a little bit what that was?
Yeah, we were all invited out to a beautiful hotel in Pasadena. I guess every year they have like the spring press event, and they had stars of like a lot of Bravo shows, Oxygen Channel, for the 45th anniversary of Days. They actually asked Days of Our Lives actors to participate in it as well. But and I think there was some nighttime stuff too. think there was a couple people from Parks and Recreation, and I saw that the guy who plays the NBC Paige from 40 Rock, the really funny guy, 40 Rock, 30 Rock, whatever his name, so he's there. So, yeah, there was probably 15 of us, 15, 20 of us, and, there was just, like, written press, a radio press, internet press, a TV press, and they were just asking actors, you know, about the 45th anniversary and this and that and storyline stuff, and so that we were all kind of hanging out. Actually, there was a few of us actors that hung out longer than we than necessary.
And
we
you should have.
Hung out in the bar, yeah, exactly. Once the it's going to be funny because once the NBC gets their limo bill, they're going to go, wait a minute, why are we getting billed for 4 hours after after the event closed down before these guys drove home? I'm like, oh, it's a good thing it's an NBC thing and not a Corday production.
Oh, gotcha.
We might be in serious trouble. But, hey, the publicists were there. They said, oh, no, stay as long as you want. So, you know, a lot of us actors don't really get to hang out that much together at work because we just in and out of there. So get a chance to drink some wine and tell some stories. Yeah, that's what you're going to get. That's what's going to happen.
Well, we have another caller. Let me get this person on the line here. 303 area code, you're on air.
Hi, Wally. This is Angie.
Hey, Angie.
Hey.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Angie's one of our Kirsten Taylor's biggest fans.
Oh.
All of our concerts.
Oh.
She was just on the Rock the Soap cruise. We did a part of that big cruise down in Ensenada. That was the Bob Guinea produced soap, I guess, extravaganza. What was that, Angie? Probably like 7 or 8 10 or 11 ABC actors.
Yeah,
Eric
like
and
that.
I from NBC, a couple people from CBS from As the World Turns, Bold and Beautiful.
But you're the only one I cared about.
Aw, you know.
You know that.
I know. You got a question, Angie?
They're dancing. Yes, I do, actually. Are they going to bring any of Justin and Adrian's sons on? I'd like to see him in father mode.
Yeah, I think if they bring on any 20-year-old, 19 or 20-year-old male, they better be our child. That's what I... I can't imagine. Well, I can't imagine them bringing on another young actor, but hopefully they will be. It will be one of ours. And then Victor could probably honestly say that he is the sire of every male character on the show.
Stefano also has quite a few kids, so I don't know. They're in competition, I guess.
Stefano, yeah.
Stefano.
The two biggest criminals are the only ones that breed in Salem.
That is so true.
That's very true.
Yeah, no, it'd be great to have I was telling somebody this last night that Crystal just got on the show, and she didn't really know what was going to happen to her character. And she said, Wally, she took me aside. She goes, I have a daughter on the show, and but I think you are going to be the father. And I'm like, really?
I think there's chemistry between you two, actually.
I'm the father, and I go, that'd be awesome. And she was like, kind of excited too. She's like, yeah, you know, I think you're the father. And I was like, wow, that's great. I didn't even know who the daughter was. I didn't know any of the story. She just got on the show. Like, I think it was the first day I saw her. And then 5 minutes later, Casey, who plays Chad, comes up to me and goes, hey, guess what? I hear you're going to be my father. So within 5 minutes, I've been told by two different actors that I'm going to be a father of, like, two people on the show. And I'm like, excited, like, wow, that means I'm probably, you know, maybe I'll be around for a little bit longer, you know? I mean, being a father on the show, that's always, you know, job security. And, of course, it turns out that I'm not the father of either one of these kids. But it was like, in the same day, I was in the hallway, and it was like one end of the hall to the other, I was approached by two actors saying that I'm going to be their father, or, you know, I'm going to be like a father of a child on the show. And then it turns out that I'm not either. I'm not a child. So I thought that was pretty funny.
The chemistry between Carly and Justin, I think there's possibility there. Do you like that idea?
Oh, yeah. I think it'd be great.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we have another call on the line, so I'm going to let her on. And Angie, thank you for calling.
No problem. Thank
you.
I know
a hardcore Kirsten Taylor fans here, so that's cool. Bye bye. Okay.
Hello?
724 area code, you're on the air.
Hi. Hi,
hello.
Wally. Hi, Diva.
Hi.
Hi. We were discussing the chat room. We were wondering, Wally, who are your acting and musical influences? Who inspires you?
Well, that's a good question. Musical, when I was growing up, I really, you know, I tend to be more interested in more, I hate to almost like soft rock, you know, I mean, it's sort of embarrassed to say. I mean, I love like, you know, well, first of all, I love the Beatles, you know, but like Loggins and Messina, and, you know, and actually it's interesting, it was like Simon and Garfunkel, I mean, those duos, which of course now I started out as a duo, those were always appealing to me, you know, kind of the softer acoustic guitar driven, you know, Dan Fogelberg, you know, those people. Then of course I also, you know, I love when I discovered, I didn't really discover Stevie Wonder until like college, and I just fell in love with his music. And of course Billy Joel's early stuff. I remember driving the car and hearing Just the Way You Are for the first time, and I just like stopped the car. Like, wow, that's the most beautiful love song I think ever. You know what I mean? It was just, so I'm really into melodies, and I think it's why I've always been a Beatles fan over the Rolling Stones, you know. But then also I had a real love for like Allman Brothers and Southern Rock, those are, you know, Marshall Tucker was a favorite. You know, I had all their albums, and so that's sort of wide, you know, spectrum. And then of course like I said, I was a theater major, so I was into musicals too. So I appreciated, you know, Gilbert and Sullivan and Stephen Sondheim. I loved his musicals and stuff. So those are some of the musical, you know, influences. In terms of acting, you know, I kind of, you know, I probably, there was a time when I would say, like, you know, Kevin Kline, you know, he was one of the, he was like a pirate king, you know, and when I was a pirate king, and he didn't really, of course, he's had a fabulous movie career since then, but I've always really respected him. I actually really like Liv Schreiber. I think he's a really, really good young actor, and I think he's terrific in everything he does. You know, of course, I love Robert De Niro and Al Pacino, like all actors. And I'll never forget when I saw Marlon Brando on the waterfront for the first time way back in New York when I was a struggling actor, and I went to like a, you know, an afternoon matinee of On the Waterfront. Of course, you know, it was, you know, black and white. It was, you know, 30 years old at that time. But I just was just stunned. In fact, I left the theater and I turned around and bought another ticket, went back in and watched it again, you know. So I would think that, you know, those are kind of like the core. Those are like every actor, you know, tips their hat to, like a Marlon Brando and James Dean and, you know, and De Niro. So in typical, those are my favorites too.
Thank you so much, and I just adore you and Judy, and I'm so happy you guys agreed to interview with the show, and I'm telling you on the Justin Adrian bandwagon, and hopefully the signs will show up, and I'm sure they'll be cute and dimply. And
well, you know, I think, you know, Dina, you know, she was on the show 20 years ago, and she was, I think she started the show in 85. I was just talking to her about it last night. And she's done a good job of, you know, trying to, you know, keep the history going. And I think she's a Justin Adrian fan. So as long as she's at the helm, I think, you know, she'll give the Justin Adrian fans something to look forward to.
Yeah, I'm glad they're rebuilding the Kyriakos. Because for the longest time, it was either just Bo and Victor or just Victor and Philip. So it's nice to see everybody be brought in. You have Brady also and his exes, I guess you could say. So it's nice to see the family, and all Vivian being involved too. It's nice seeing the whole family get together instead of just being Victor on his, you know, being in that mansion by himself. But I'm really excited you and Judy are back, and And thank you so much for answering my questions.
Oh, bye. Sure, absolutely.
Thank you for calling in.
You're welcome.
Marianne, did you have another question?
Yeah, I was just wondering. He said he had his son up for ice cream. I'm not sure how many children you have or how old they are. But would you like to see either any of them get into the music business or the acting business? What do you feel about that?
Well, I have an older daughter who's she was an actress in high school, and she continues taking acting classes, and she actually teaches a little bit at the studio. And I really encourage her because she's really talented. She's an art major, and but she's kind of, you know, not really. She has to work. It seems like she's not really pursuing it because it's, you know, you really have to. It's such a business, so you really have to focus and really, you know, take it seriously and like make it. It's like a full time job. But you know what? She's so good and so talented. I definitely encourage her to mm-hmm. pursue it. And my other daughter, my teenage daughter, she probably, I don't know, because her mother's an actress as well, but she seems to poo-poo it, and I don't think she's going to be pursuing it. But and I have no idea. My son does spend a lot of time looking at himself in the mirror, so I may be in trouble there. But I always tell people when they come, you know, like if someone says, hey, I want to go to L.A. and I want to be an actor and this and that.
Do you have advice for them?
Especially if they're, well, this is my advice. And even if their parent is there. Like sometimes I'll make a personal appearance and, you know, the parent of a teenage girl will come up and say, this is my daughter and she wants to be an actress. Is there any, you know, words of advice you can give her? And I always just say, look, at the very least, I think that acting and performing is such a, almost like a therapeutic art form and craft. And that you learn so much about yourself. It's that you can't go wrong, however far you go, even if it's a community theater production or a college production, or if it's even it's just a class. You really do. You have to do some self-examining. You have to do self-analysis and scene analysis and understand behavior, human behavior, your behavior, the behavior of other people. And so, at the very least, I think you're going to learn something about yourself and that opens your eyes to something that you might not have already known. So I'm always like, hey, if they wanted to go out and try acting, I always feel like in the long run they'll be a good thing, even if they don't ever, you know, stick with it. So
right.
I just feel like it's a positive thing no matter what.
Uh-huh. Was it a struggle for you?
Oh, yes, it was a struggle. I mean, I spoke about being in 23 years old, already starring on Broadway, and my name was in lights. But I tell you what, didn't work for another. I was in 83, and so I didn't get on days until 87. So there was 4 years where I was back bussing tables and mm-hmm. driving around town on a moped. That's all I could afford, and you know, just hustling and struggling, and just like everybody else. And you about hit the wall, and you're about ready to say, hey, do I really want to do this? Or do I want to go get a real job and have some security? And luckily, you know, the thing about soap operas is it amazingly secure. I mean, if the show keeps running and you're a popular character, I mean, how many actors have been on a nighttime series for 14 years like I was on General Hospital?
Right.
That's really rare that a series goes that long. And look at all the nighttime actors that you can think of, like from 10 years ago that had maybe 2 or 3 years on the series, and then you don't see them again. You know, where are they now? You know, so it's just a tough, it's a tough gig. It's a tough craft. It's a tough career. So,
we have a question from the chat room that someone asked twice. So I want to make sure they got it. Do you think there's going to be any chance that maybe Curzon Taylor could sing at the Daytime Emmys or on some award show like that in the future?
I'm sorry, what's the question?
Do you think that Curzon Taylor will ever, like, have a song to sing on the, like, maybe for the Daytime Emmys this year or in the future?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, the Daytime Emmys are in Las Vegas, I heard. At the end of June, they're going to be in Vegas. So, yeah, you never know. In fact, I was just talking to somebody last night at the press event, and I thought that'd be kind of fun to maybe do a gig there, get the band to go, and maybe if it's not on the show, just off, you know, somewhere off the strip and, you know, get people that are, you know, there's a lot of fans that go.
Yeah.
You know, they might really enjoy seeing it. But yeah, I don't know. It's a CBS. It's a CBS event this year, so I don't think CBS would be inviting me. But maybe if NBC, if it ever airs on NBC, maybe they would do something like that. That'd be fun. Well, I remember Rick Springfield did the ABC show a few years ago, and I thought he was wonderful.
Uh-huh.
He came out and started the show. Remember when they did the ABC did that show at the Kodak Theater? And he started outside. They had a big outside event, and they did it all up. Kirkland Taylor actually did play on the soap opera. I think it was the very last Soap Opera Digest Awards that SoapNet broadcast.
Okay. Uh-huh.
And we sang a song called Let It Go. That was done. We did that over at a studio, over at ABC at Prospect, and SoapNet broadcast it. But that was the first and only broadcast of an award show on SoapNet. So.
Well, some other news about you this week is that on the Cartoon Network, we got to hear your voice on Generator Rex is Agent 6, and we have a question in the chat room of what is it like to do the voice for that show?
Yeah, that was really fun. I went to the premiere on Friday night, and I had a blast because I'd never seen the full show. I'd seen little clips of it, like everybody else, like in the promos, but I really hadn't seen, Agent 6 in all of his glory, and it was really fun to actually be part of a character that's like such a man. He's a stud, you know. Unfortunately, I'll never be that tough. I mean, the guy flies through the air. He's got his katanas and his swords, and I think he split a rock in two. Yeah, he's a superhero. God, it was just fun. You know, it's like an old radio play. We go to the Cartoon Network studios, and there's like a recording booth, just like I would have a recording studio at, like, when I sing. And instead, there's like five or six mics, and the actors, for the most part, every actor that's in the show is there, and we just read it like an old radio play, like an old soap opera, like a radio soaps. And when it's your turn to talk, you stand up and you just speak into the mic, and you got your script in front of you, like on a piece of on a stand, just like a music stand, and you just go, and they give you notes, and you'll do it over again. And the thing that's been the funny thing about Agent 6, that my biggest note is that he's very stoic. He doesn't really show much emotion. He's he's a serious. He works for Providence, and he has to look after Rex, and that's a very serious duty. And so sometimes I'll come from, the set and, of course, Days of Our Lives, and like most dramas, are full of emotion. And, you sort of allow yourself that vulnerability and emotion to come through your performance. And they're always like, Wally, you're showing too much emotion. You're acting like you care too much. Flatten it out, Wally. You're a killer. You're a cold-blooded killer. I'm like, okay, yeah, you're right, yeah. No, I'm a fighter, not a lover.
Uh-huh. what is your, there's another question from the chat room. What is your dream role? A role that you'd love to play that you've never had a chance to play?
Oh, that's funny. You know what, I've always wanted to do some Shakespeare. And one of the plays that I have, actually, I don't think I've ever seen on stage, because they don't stage it very much, is Henry the Fourth, Part Two.
Uh-huh.
And Henry the Fourth, Part Two, I think it is. And it's the role of Prince Hal. And I'm probably too old to play it, although Shakespeare does allow actors to get older. I'm probably definitely too old to play Romeo, but I think I might. If it's a if it's a big stage, and you can't see me that clearly, I could maybe play Prince Hal. But I've always wanted to play Prince Hal. It's he turns into Henry V, it's just a great, great play. It's the beginning. Falstaff is in that. It's the introduction of Falstaff, and I've always wanted to do Shakespeare, and I never have. I've never done it, and so that's one thing I've always wanted to do.
Uh-huh. Here's another question. Do you still get stage fright before you perform live?
Yeah.
After doing so many concerts and such.
Well, here's the thing about the concerts. When I was doing Pirates of Penzance, you did 8 shows a week. And after 2 weeks of that, the show just becomes second nature. You can, like, you don't even have to think about it. It's just in it, you know, in there. Well, on with our show, we do it once every, well, we haven't done it in 4 years, you know, and we do it like once every 6 months or once every year. We would have these concerts, or maybe once every 2 months. But still, we would, you know, that's just not very often. And of course, we never rehearse because none of us are in the same town. So we just sort of show up for the gig and start playing. And and for me, I've got to remember all the words, and I've got to remember all the guitar chords, and I've got to practice and do all that. So it is. I do get stage fright. But, you know, once you get out there and you're rolling along, then you relax. But before the show, I'm always like, oh, yeah, 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 yeah. Like, I pray to God I get through it. And sometimes I do. And sometimes I don't. No, but it is, yeah. And theater, it's been a long time since I've done theater, but, yeah, I mean, I used to do these shows in Montana, in Billings, Montana, and I claimed that before I did Guys and Dolls, I found God. Because I really did, before opening night, I was off stage, and I prayed to God, like, if there's a God, please, please, get me through this show. Because I had 4 days rehearsal to play Sky Masterson in Guys and Dolls. I'd never played it before. And I had dances, I had songs, and I just, you know, it's my show, and you drive the whole show. I mean, that's not necessarily true, because there's other characters, but pretty much, you know, Sky Masterson's one of the main people. Uh-huh. And I just said, I got to give it over to God because I can't do it. And that was definitely a stage fright moment that I just, you know, you just got to, you know, have faith that you're going to make it. You're going to survive.
Uh-huh.
But I love live stage, and I've been told that I'm really good at it, and I don't do it very often because you can't make a living. But like I said, Pirates of Penzance, I had a ball. I mean, by the time I played Broadway in The Pirate King, I mean, I knew that role inside and out. I could have done it for, I mean, you know, it was just like, I didn't have stage fright then because I was so familiar with the show and so familiar with The Pirate King by then that I didn't have any stage fright. I just had nothing but excitement in me. Like, I can't wait to get out there and kill it, you know. And that's how, of course, you want to be. But you can't get there until you can't do it, and you can't have that feeling unless you at least have a couple run-throughs, you know, a few shows in front of a live audience where you feel comfortable, and then it becomes easier and easier.
Mm-hmm. Well, it seems like very different from, I actually watched the making of videos that were put up for that, for the Bring Back the Band Back Together Again video,
yeah.
And it seems like so different when you're talking about, you know, the rush of performing live on stage as opposed to watching you do the loops with the cowbell over and over and over again, and it's just, it was amazing to me how you could keep it, you know, still keep it fresh every time when you're pretty much going nonstop over and over.
Yeah.
So, I like the outfits, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, if you see the long version, you get the idea why we did that. Yeah, Christian had something. Oh. He dreamed something up. He wanted to, you know, he was funny about that. He always wanted us to have uniforms, and I was the one that was kind of poo-pooing. I'm like, really? You want us to have uniforms? I mean, it's kind of like corny, isn't it? But he was able to write it in there and have fun with it. And I think he is planning on sometime having us wear those uniforms again. And I'm like, really? Okay. Well, we'll talk about it when we do it, you know. I don't think we'll be wearing the uniforms at the St. Rock, but maybe in the future, maybe down the road.
Yeah. Well, it was really those two little boys really stole the show in the making of clips.
That was Christian's son. Brooks.
Really?
And the other one was Jay, who was the director. He played the director in it, and he's like my old manager and Christian's other partner in what Christian does. I have a video. He has a video company with Jay. And that's Jay's son.
Uh-huh.
So, kept in the family.
So do you think there's going to be a chance of any more music videos coming along?
Yeah. It was pretty easy.
Cool.
We made those pretty easy, pretty simple. You know, with Christian being the editor that he is, there's really no reason why we can't make more, you know, because that's really the cost. That's the big expense is, you know, having someone sit down and cut all that. You have no idea how time-consuming that is. And he certainly makes it look easy, but it's anything but. I think everybody who sees it just is pretty amazed. you know, even professionals go, wow. I mean, the graphic design and everything that he layered it and all the work that he did, he's I have no idea how he does what he does. And it's all self-taught, you know.
Uh-huh.
So I really lucked out having a very talented partner.
Uh-huh. That's amazing. Do you have any of all the different songs Curtin Taylor sing? I guess this may put you on the spot, but I'll ask, do you have a really favorite song, one that you just really, really connect to when you sing to it every time?
Well, you know, I've been trying to grab the guitar every day and play, you know, when I'm here. And there's one song that I wrote with our old keyboard player called Montana Sky. And we're going to start singing that more often because it, obviously I'm from Montana and I just, first of all, I love singing it. I love the melody. I love how the chorus goes. I like the lyrics. It really, the chorus is, I'm going home to a place, you know, where I belong. And it's, you know, it's just, for me, being in California all these years but growing up in Montana, and I really love the country, the landscape of Montana. So when I sing that song, I travel back, and every time I sing, it just really moves me. And maybe because that's also a song that I co-wrote as well. And I don't know, that's certainly a song that really, really, really touches me, and I love singing that in concert.
Uh-huh. We have one more caller. Let me see if I can get this caller on real quick. Hello?
Hello?
Meg?
Yes, hi.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, Meg.
Hi, Wally. I just have a quick question before the show ends. I was wondering what your favorite medium of acting is.
Well, you know, we talked a little bit about stage. I think if I could make a living doing theater, I probably would. I've always said, and everyone says, that theater is the actor's medium. You know, television is more, and movies especially, is more of a director's medium. I mean, unless you're, you know, Tom Cruise and you got, you know, just incredible roles and you're playing the lead. But for the most part, you know, actors, it's pretty much laboratory work. Whereas theater, you know, you obviously, the lights come up, the curtain opens, the lights come up, and you have a captive audience for 2 hours, you know, and you're telling the story with other actors on stage, and no one's telling you to cut. no one's telling you to do it over again. You know, and there's something that really is a really special collaboration with the audience and the actors, and you really do feel them, especially in musicals too. You really feel them, you know, being taken away by your performance and the music and it. And you know, I for my money, there's nothing better than live theater. And but having said that, I honestly believe for me, working on soaps is more rewarding now. Granted, I haven't worked in nighttime television. I've only done a few little spots in any kind of nighttime series. I'd like to do more. But just from what I watch, you know, the procedural dramas that I watch, you know, the crime solving that they're doing, to me that would probably become somewhat redundant after a while. You know, just who did it? You know, how many, you know, conversations can you have about this criminal and that criminal? I love telling stories about relationships and talking to wives and ex-wives and uncles and children and cousins and nephews and, you know, all those relationships that you get in a soap opera and all those. And you get, you know, 3 pages of dialogue and you get to just, it's almost like a stage. It's like a proscenium stage with the cameras on 3 sides. You're in a set that is pretty much your own, kind of like a theater, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So for my money, I think daytime drama is where I would be, where I would want to be in terms of television, you know. I am exactly where I want to be, you know. And like I said, you don't maybe get as famous or you don't make as much money, but from a purely craft perspective, I love the daytime, you know, genre and how it's done.
Well, thank you, Wally, very much, and I hope you have a wonderful day.
Thank you. Thank you for calling.
Thank you for calling. Yeah, well, that's pretty much the end of our show now. So thank you so much, Wally, for being our guest today, and we really appreciate talking to you, and I'm so sure there will be plenty of Days fans that are going to come see Kirsten Taylor, either in California or Indiana.
Okay, yeah,
okay.
Great.
Lot,
I'm looking
Walt.
Forward to seeing them all. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.